Well, hey there. You know, Jesus really believed there was something that would attract the world to himself. And today in our podcast, Steve is at the Atoka campus. He's talking about that crucial one thing that is surprisingly but definitely missing far too often in the church today. So let's get started. Hey, I'm Kelly. Thanks for tuning in. If this is your first time listening, you should know that we publish new episodes pretty much every week for those that want to hear a message they missed, listen again, or maybe even share it with a friend. For more information about Gateway or to view show notes, visit gatewaytipton.com. Now, here's the message.
Father, we ask you now, as we open your word, that, Lord, you would take that inspired word of yours, and Lord, drive it into our hearts, and Lord, we would respond in obedience and in joy as you teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We had the joy this morning of sending off another group of missionaries to East Tennessee, and so pray for them today as they travel and as they prepare for a week of mission and ministry in one of the poorest areas in our nation. And so pray for them as they serve this week, our AO group, and they'll be back toward the end of the week. Now, I have a question that I want to ask today, and I know not everyone is on social media, but I want to see how many of you have a Facebook account that will admit to it, all right? Yeah, so a lot of you, I'd say the majority of us are on Facebook. And you may not look at it a whole lot, but I don't look at it a whole lot, but there was a recent post on the Fans of Atoka Facebook page. I'm not suggesting you spend a whole lot of time there. I'm just noticed it. And it grabbed my attention. And a person, no names given, not in our church, expressed great frustration with church people that shop at Kroger on Sundays and block the aisles with their church conversations. Now, you guys might be guilty of that, and by all means, do not go to Kroger today and shop and block the aisles. And so that seems really silly, and the post did indeed turn into a silly discussion. You know, people planning 3 o'clock meetings on Sunday at aisle three and, you know, things like that. But hidden in all of that was first a very real frustration from the original poster about church people and annoying things. And then there was also some very clear disdain of some people in our community that kind of jumped on and piled on when it comes to church people and the way that professing Christians sometimes act. And there was more truth there than we might want to admit, and it was humorous, but it stuck with me. And so it got me thinking a little bit about why does so much of the world have such disdain for professed Christians? What is it that they are looking at and seeing or not seeing that for whatever reason pushes them away from the church? And then I began to ask the question, what was it that Jesus said would attract the world to his church instead of repulsing it or pushing it away? And you know, Jesus actually addressed this very thing a number of times in the New Testament, and it has everything to do with a four-letter word, the word love. Now, we're going to be in John chapter 15 today. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and start turning to the book of John. But before we look at that, by way of introduction, in Matthew chapter 24, and we studied Matthew 24 many weeks ago. I don't expect you to remember all this, but in Matthew 24, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus' followers asked Jesus what the signs of his return would be. In other words, what should we look like, what should we look for when the end is about to come? And Jesus gave them some answers. He said that deceivers would come, that there would be wars and rumors of war, that nation would rise up against nation, that false prophets would abound. And then he said this to his followers at the end of that list of things that would happen at the end. He says, because of all of this, the love of many will grow cold. Jesus said, look, at the end of time, guys, there's coming a day when the love of my followers is going to grow cold and you won't see it. And then in the very next verse, and again, we're not going to read it. You can go back and look at it another time. But in the very next verse, Jesus indicates that when love endures to the end, that is the mark of his followers. And the message there is that those that endure to the end, those that are really his, that what marks them above anything else is their love. And that leads to the first of 2 points that I want to make today from the book of John. The first is this: love is the defining characteristic of the believer. Love is the defining characteristic of the believer. Now, I want to prove that to you from Scripture, and then we're going to talk about what that love looks like. So just listen for a second. Again, we're going to get to John 15 in a moment, but John wrote another book, the book of 1 John, and in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, he says these words. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." And then he says this, "He who does not love does not know God." Now, that kind of speaks for itself, doesn't it? But not only do we have that passage and others in the book of 1 John, but when Paul was describing in Galatians the fruit of the Spirit, when he was talking about the things that would characterize one that was connected to Christ, the first and most basic foundational fruit that he lists is what? Think of that list. Love, joy, peace, patience. What was the first one? Love. The foundational fruit of a person who is connected to Jesus is love. And then again, in Matthew, Jesus indicating that the distinguishing characteristic of one that endures to the end would also be love. And then today we're going to see that at the very end of Jesus' life, the last night of his life, that he spent a great deal of time talking to his followers about love. Now, he could have talked to them about anything in the world that night, but he chose to talk to them over and over again, and in turn, he is talking to us today about love, because when it comes to his followers, it is so important. So John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. John 15, 12 and 13. Now here Jesus is going to describe what this love is going to look like in your life and in my life. If it's a defining characteristic of a believer, what does that love look like? Now, remember here in John 15, this is the passage where we are connected to Jesus. He is the vine, we are the what? The branches. And we are drawing life from Him as His followers, okay? John 15 is all about that. And so this is the kind of love that we're going to read about in a moment that comes out of a person that is connected to Jesus. Okay? This is the kind of love that is coming out of a person, not should come out, but will come out of a person that is truly connected to Him. So how are we to love? All right? Chapter 15, verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." So in verse 12, Jesus said, here's what this love looks like. He said, first of all, you're to love each other as I have loved you. Now, this is not the only place in this discussion that Jesus said these words. In fact, if you flip back to chapter 13, and look at verse 34. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you what? Love one another." Here's what it looks like: "As I have loved you," right? Again, that you love one another. Now, Jesus here in John 13 says that this is a new commandment. Now, our question is, what is it that makes this commandment new? Jesus had certainly taught them before that they were to love each other. They'd heard this before. It certainly was in the Old Testament, right? It's taught there. The Old Testament command was to love your neighbor as yourself, right? So this is not a new command. At least the loving each other part of it is not new. What is new is how we show that love. And this is what Jesus wanted them to see. And so he says, here's the old part, love each other. Here's the new part, as I have loved you. Okay? Now that was something new. Now in chapter 15 and verse 13, which we've already read, we have a description of what that love looks like. This is what love looks like from a person that is connected to me. And the first thing he says is not just love. He said it is a greater love. Jesus is saying to them, he says, I want you to love like I love. And I believe that he wanted his followers, those guys there that day, to see this vision of his followers loving in a greater way than anybody on earth had ever loved before. And he wants them to understand that the vision of Jesus was that when people thought about love, that they would think about the followers of Jesus because it would be a defining characteristic of their lives and the way that they live. He says, guys, not only do I want you to love, but I want you to love in a greater way. This is something new. I want you to love in the way that I love so that when others think about love, they will think about my people. They will think about you. Well, here's a question that I have. How are we doing with that as the Church of Jesus Christ? How are we doing with that? When you talk to people far from God and you ask them about the church, do they say, those people are so loving? The church, they just love each other so much. Is that what we hear today from the world that is watching the church? Now, I would hope that they would say that sometimes perhaps about us or maybe about the church at Gateway, but I am afraid that they talk more about the fact that we are hypocrites or that we are rude and stand in the aisles at Kroger oblivious to anyone else, or that we don't tip well at restaurants, or that we are gossipers, or whatever. I'm afraid that when the world talks about the church, that we hear that a whole lot more than we hear about how much we love each other. It's been years ago now, but I still remember it. I'm giving away my age, but Elton John said years ago, he said, religion ought to be banned because the church is so full of hate. That's a worldly person, okay? We understand that. But it's somebody that observes the church and says, the church is so full of hate. And I really am afraid that the world sees us and they see a lot of other things. Instead of love, they see politics or anger or outrage, but not often do they see love, at least not the kind of love that Jesus showed. And we're going to talk more about that later, but Jesus is saying to his followers, including us, that love ought to be the defining characteristic of our lives. And I believe that it was his dream that we live that out day in and day out. And then he goes on to say that one that loves this way, as he is loved, lays down his life for his friends. The idea there being that you as a believer in Christ would be willing to lay down your life for your brothers and sisters. Now, when we think about that, we automatically think of our physical life, don't we? We think perhaps of stepping in front of a bullet or literally dying for someone or maybe dying as a martyr on behalf of others or whatever it might be. And there are people that do that. I mean, we just passed Memorial Day, right? Where we honor those that truly did lay down their lives out of love for country or out of love for others. But what I want to say to you is that is not really what Jesus is saying here. He's not just saying that the ultimate picture of love is to literally die a physical death for someone, although he would do that for us, right? Out of love and obedience, he was going to physically lay down his life at the cross for us. But there's more here. You know, I mentioned one time that sometimes knowing the Greek word for stuff in Scripture helps. It's helpful. And this is a great example of that, because the word that's used here is not the word that ordinarily would have been used to lay down your physical life. It's a different word. And the word that is used here is the word that means soul or existence. And so Jesus here is not literally saying, go out there and die for each other physically, but he is saying, go out there and live for one another. Now, there's a bit of a paradox in that, but we are to live in such a way that we are giving ourselves up. We are to live our lives in such a way that we are literally dying to ourselves on behalf of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's a different way to look at this. The picture is laying down your existence, laying down your daily life for your friends, taking what makes you up, who you really are, and laying that down for your friends. So Jesus looks at these men, he says, this is the new commandment. This is the defining characteristic of someone that is connected to me. He says, you love one another with a willingness to give and to sacrifice for one another. You live your life that way. Well, that's the greater love, right? That comes from the life of a believer, one that is connected to Christ. You know, the greatest example, I think, in the Bible that we have of this is in the early church in the book of Acts and the way that they loved each other. See, they got it right in the early church. They loved each other this way. In fact, the Bible describes what they had. It uses the Greek word koinonia. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but the eighth grader that just won the national spelling bee had to spell the word koinonia to get the win. And I noticed that, and this is the word, koinonia, which is the kind of love that early church had for one another. And they were people that were radically loving each other. If you read the book of Acts, you find that they are laying their lives down for one another. They are learning together. They ate together. They spent time with one another. They prayed for one another. They shared with each other. They offered themselves, their lives, their experience, what they had learned, who they were. They offered these things to one another selflessly, loving each other deeply. And the Bible is clear in the book of Acts that the world that was watching on the outside took note of the love of this church. From Tertullian, who was the famous early Christian historian who lived during this time, he said these words. He said, it is mainly the deeds of a love so noble that lead many in the world to put a brand upon us. See, they say, how they love one another. For they themselves are animated by mutual hatred. See, they say about us how they are ready even to die for one another, when they themselves would sooner kill each other. See what Tertullian is saying? He said that a world that would just as soon kill each other looks at the church and says, my, how they love each other. And a watching world saw the difference in a church that loved one another and went the extra mile for one another. Let me ask you a quick question. Are we to love the world around us? Yes. But you know, sometimes in loving the world around us, we miss a very special responsibility that we have to love one another within these walls too, don't we? To love each other deeply. And we're going to see as we move on that those two things, loving one another inside the church and loving others outside the church, are tied together inseparably. You know, John didn't just talk about it in his gospel. As we mentioned earlier, he also talked about it in the book of 1 John. Now, I want you to hold your place in the gospel of John, and I want you to turn over to the book of 1 John. If you get all the way to Revelation, you have gone too far. Okay? 1 John, chapter 4. Later in the year, we are going to do an entire series in the book of 1 John. Real excited about that. So we see the talk of love over and over again in 1 John as well. Look at chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, and I want us to look quickly at some things we can learn about this kind of love. Everybody still with me? All right, chapter 4, verse... All right, not 1 Peter, although that's a great book too. First John chapter 4, verse 7. I got to quit talking and turn my pages. All right. Verse 7, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us." Here's how we see it, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, what do we learn from that? First of all, I hope you see that loving each other is a command, okay? Love one another. It's not something that is optional. And as you read 1 John, it's clear that it was meant for the church. He says, beloved or brethren. He is speaking to the church. Love each other. Now, love flows through us from Jesus, but it is also something that we must give our attention to in obedience, right? And so what he is saying here, he says, love one another as a way of life. Love one another constantly. May it be automatic in your life, not if you feel like it or if that person acts right, but love them as a part of who you are. Now let me ask you another quick question. Are we always easy to love? No. We're not easy to love whether we're standing in the Kroger aisle or not, right? We're hard to love sometimes. This is not an easy thing that we are being commanded to do, but that leads to the second thing we can learn from 1 John, and that is that God is the source of that love. He says here, love is of God. His character is love. He is the one that is full of love, not me. He is the source of the love that I'm being asked to express to you. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and don't turn there, but we are going to put it on the screen for you. I wanted you to read verse 22 and 23. He says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit. In other words, since you are a believer, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And then he says it again in verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides together. So you have the same command to love each other there, but with some added adverbs. And he says here, having been born again, right? This is the source of your love. You can love others because you have been what? Because you've been born again. It's John trying to say, look, it is the presence of the Spirit in you that enables you to love. He is the source of that love. Our problem in the church with loving one another is that we don't stay connected to the source of that love. John 15, right? You disconnect yourself from the source of that love and you will not be able to love one another because it is coming from who? It's coming from Jesus. And so we don't love on our own. He is the source of that love. And then we learn that if love is not present in us, then John says that we don't know him. That we don't know God. Now that's a little bit sobering, isn't it? He says if you truly know him, there's no way that your life cannot be showing love. He says in another place, how can you say that you love God and not love your brothers who are right in front of you? John says it's impossible to be that way, and we see it over and over in the book of 1 John. And let me say something to you just in humility and understanding that we struggle with these things. But bitterness and holding grudges and anger and revenge and marking people off our list and giving up on folks and staying mad at folks, listen, that is not what God's people do. Okay? That's not what God's people do. And that raises a question that if that is a characteristic of your life, if you find yourself always angry at people, if you find yourself hating others, if you find yourself always angry and seeking revenge and struggling to love, there is a really important question that you ought to ask yourself. And it's this. Do I really know him? Do I really know the author of love? And am I really grasping what he has done for me and the love that I have been shown by my heavenly Father? Because when I grasp that, and I cannot help but love others. with that same love. And then the last thing there in 1 John is just that our example is Jesus. Verses 9 through 11, so clearly we see the gospel that if God loved me that much and He lives inside of me, I ought to love others too, especially those that also belong to Him. He is our example. But that's not all that Jesus said about love. He did clearly make the case, right, that the defining characteristic of a believer is love. But that wasn't all. Here's the second thing. We're almost done. Love is our most convincing witness. Love is our most convincing witness. That's one of our plumb lines. It's one of our values here at Gateway. We say that phrase a lot. And I want to paint the picture for you for what is happening here in John chapter 13. Remember, this is Jesus' last moments with His followers. His disciples are gathered around. By this time, Judas is now gone to make arrangements for what would later be the arrest of Jesus, and in the middle of this time, Jesus makes this simple, profound statement about love that we read earlier. He says to those guys, He says, guys, I have a new command that I want to give you. You know you're supposed to love each other, but I'm telling you today, you're to love one another the way that I have loved you. And by the way, if you will love each other that way, the world out there will always know who it is that you follow, because that love will inevitably point to me. I think He would have reversed that and said to them, guys, if you refuse to love each other, no matter where you go or what you preach or what you do, none of it will matter, because no one will ever see me in you unless you love each other. And this is the message of John 13, 34, and 35. Guys, it is your love that will show the world that you are my disciples. My prayer this week has been that our little body of believers here at Gateway would see the magnitude of our love for one another. The impact that you as a church body have in Tipton County and have in this community has the ability to turn the attitudes on fans of Atoka around if you would love one another. And you would love the community where God has put you. Jesus didn't want them just loving each other as they love themselves, but as He had loved them. And He looked at that little group that day, the church, if you will, and He raised the bar. And He said, it is a greater love. It is a sacrificial love that lives for each other. And when the world sees that, they will see me. Those things are tied together. The early church was being persecuted. Emperor Julian, who was a fierce persecutor of the church in the first century, he admitted to a friend who wrote this down, and this is why we have it, but he admitted to a friend that he could not keep the church from growing, no matter how many he jailed or killed. And this is his quote, because these infernal Galileans feed our poor in addition to their own. Historian Eberhard Arnold said that early Christians spent more money in the streets of the city meeting one another's needs and others' needs than the followers of other religions spent in their temples filled with gold. What were they doing that was different from everything and everybody else? They were loving each other. And they were loving those that were in their communities. And make no mistake about it, the watching world saw their love and it seized the hearts of the world around them, because in those believers, that world saw the love of Jesus. And within a couple of generations, the entire Roman Empire had turned to Christ. And I'm telling you, it started because they were different in the way that they loved each other. They were different in their love. And so make no mistake about it this morning, when you are called into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are indeed being called into something radical. And part of that is a radical love for each other. And I'm telling you, it's not easy, right? Because I know I'm not always lovable. we're not always lovable, and it is not easy, and we cannot do it on our own. And many people love others as they love themselves. Many people love their spouse and family and people that are nice to them, but Jesus is raising the bar here, and we are called to love with a sacrificial love. I was really glad today that we had a Sunday kind of in between holidays and in between series, because I really think that this is timely for the church in general, and I believe it's timely for our church right now. In fact, if there's anything that I think our church might need to hear more than anything else, it might be the admonition to love one another. And we're not mean to each other, are we? I don't walk around Gateway and hear y'all screaming at each other or yelling at each other or whatever, but you know what? I wonder, however, if we are loving each other sacrificially like we could in the way Jesus loved us. And I even thought this week, you know, I wonder if we love people out there more than we love people in here. We've become really good at getting out in the community. We've become really good at expressing love to people outside and inviting them to come to church and be a part of things. But I wonder when they get here if they are seeing us love one another. Because you know what? It does not matter how much we love people outside. When they come here, if they see something other than love, it does not matter. We've accomplished nothing. If we don't love like this, then the gospel cannot be advanced through us. And so my prayer is that maybe we could not be known as people that block the aisles at Kroger. Maybe we could not be known as people that say one thing and do another. Maybe we could not be known as angry, frustrated moralists or political right-wingers, but maybe we could simply be known as people that love like nobody ever has before. And that if we could love that way, the hearts of the world would be captured, and in our love, they would see the love that Jesus has for them. And maybe they would come to know Him. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, if I could speak every language known to man, if I could even speak the language that the angels speak, but I didn't have love, now I'm nothing but a clanging cymbal. If I could speak all kinds of prophetic words, and if I knew all mysteries, if I knew everything about everything, but I didn't have love, then I'm nothing. If I had so much faith that I could say to a mountain, be moved, and it would move, but I didn't have love, then I'm nothing. If I would give all of the things that I have, if I would sell all my possessions to feed the poor, and even if I were willing to lay down my very life for someone, but I didn't have love, then it would profit me nothing. And so, church, what I would say to you today, that regardless of how many kids' clubs we do, regardless of how many outreach activities and mission trips we go on, regardless of how many cups we hand out at the park that have Gateway on them, none of that matters if we don't have love. And it starts here, and it moves out from here to a world that needs Jesus. Because if it's not present here, they will not see the reality of it. One other place in the Bible where Jesus said that people would be drawn to Him. In John chapter 12, Jesus made this statement. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself." And in the next verse, it says that Jesus spoke those words knowing what kind of death He was going to die. Do you understand what Jesus was saying? That when His cross, when the cross was lifted up, when what He did for us on the cross was lifted up, that all men would be drawn to Him. And it's my prayer today that as Gateway Baptist Church, that we would always talk about the cross. That we would always live for the cross. that the cross is what would get us up in the morning, that the goal of our lives would be for others to see what happened at the cross and the love expressed there, and that if we would do that, that people would be drawn to Jesus. So if I could say a couple things today, and maybe it doesn't all go together, I don't really care. Two things. We want people to come to Jesus. Love each other. Let the world see it. And you hold up the cross, because everything else is secondary. Love others, love each other, and hold up the cross. Let's pray. Lord, you are good every single week to speak to us by your Holy Spirit through your word. And Lord, every single week when the word is proclaimed, we understand that we have a responsibility. Lord, your word never comes back void, and I just pray that today that we would have the courage to be obedient. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would forgive me for the times that I have not loved your people the way that I should. Lord, these precious folks in this room today that you love beyond what we can even begin to imagine. Lord, how many times have we just walked by? And how many times have we known that somebody needed something? Somebody was hurting, struggling, but we were too busy. Just had too much going on. And how many times, Father, have we gone home after church or after class, and we just gossiped and talked about so-and-so at church? And how many times has that spilled over to the world, and they've looked at us as hateful instead of full of love? And Father, today, would you forgive us for the gossip? Would you forgive us for the anger and the hatred? Lord, would you turn us around today and give us a new love for your church, a new love for each other, a new love for the world around us that looks like your love for us, a love that's sacrificial, Lord, a love that gives to the end. And that, Father, as we learn to do that, as we learn to love each other, would the world look at us and say, my, how they love each other. And in that, they would see their Savior. So, Lord, forgive us. Press us forward today. May we be a church that is known by our love. And, Lord, today I pray if there's anybody present in this room that does not know your love expressed through the cross, that today that they would come and accept the only way their sins can be forgiven, and that is by receiving the love that you offer, by turning away from their sin, the selfish life, and turning to the love of Jesus. Lord, give that person courage today to take that step, to turn their life over to you. So Lord, we give you our invitation time today. Lord, we just want to be obedient. We just want to use it as a time to talk to you. So Lord, let us do that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If you're ready to take your next step with the Lord, we'd love to connect with you in person or even on social media. We're Gateway Tipton on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.